Blog Talk Radio.
Take a licking. There is someone waiting who will hurry up and rescue you. Just call for Super Chicken.
Welcome to the Backyard Poultry with a Chicken Whisperer radio show, brought to you by Tractor Supply, where we give away more chicken coops and chicken-related prizes than anyone else on the planet. We are often imitated, but never duplicated. My name is Andy Schneider, but most know me as the Chicken Whisperer, author of The Chicken Whisperer's Guide to Keeping Chickens, and national spokesperson for the USDA Biosecurity for Birds program. My co-host is Pat Foreman, author of City Chicks, Chicken Tractor, and other great titles. Today is Wednesday, February 6th, and I would like to thank all of you for tuning in this afternoon on Blog Talk Radio. This is a live radio show that is broadcast around the world. This radio show is all about keeping backyard poultry, show poultry, and living a self-sufficient lifestyle. Each week, we welcome experts in their field to share their knowledge about different topics, including backyard poultry, show poultry, heritage poultry, gardening, cooking, and living a self-sufficient lifestyle. Be sure to visit our website, chickenwhisperer.com, where you can follow us on Twitter and become a fan on Facebook. Once again, I would like to thank all of you for tuning in to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by Tractor Supply. Ware Manufacturing has been building quality hutches since 1983. Ware manufactures modern chicken hutches, barns, pens, and nest boxes designed especially for the backyard flock. Ware offers hutches and pens for every yard size and every chicken keeper's budget. Visit their website at waremfginc.com. That's waremfginc.com. Or call them to find a retailer near you at 1-888-824-7257. Ware Manufacturing. And you can find all the great Ware products here. Critter-Cages.com is your one-stop shop for all your critters' housing needs. They stock a wide selection of supplies and equipment for rabbits, guinea pigs, hamsters, mice, rats, ferrets, chinchillas, chickens, and other small critters. Their chicken selection includes chicken barns, chicken coops, and chicken yards from top manufacturers. Your critters will love their selection of quality products, and you'll love their low prices. Visit them online at critter-cages.com. That's critter-cages.com. Ideal Poultry has been a family-owned and operated business since 1937. Their business is built on customer service and quality poultry, from rare white and brown egg layers to broilers, ducks, turkeys, and bantams. Ideal Poultry is the largest supplier of backyard poultry in the United States, shipping close to 5 million chicks annually. Visit them online at idealpoultry.com. That's idealpoultry.com. Introducing the Chicken Fountain, a new way to water your flock. The Chicken Fountain will change your life and keep your chickens healthier by providing clean, fresh water every time. No more daily cleaning of dirty chicken waterers. This semi-sealed system keeps every drop of water fresh and clean. Proudly made in the USA, the Chicken Fountain will provide your flock with fresh, clean water for years to come. To order your Chicken Fountain, visit chickenfountain.com. That's chickenfountain.com.
Hi, I'm country music artist Nathan Osmond, and you're listening to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer.
And the mighty bird against prejudice continues his fight for law and order. So when you hear that cry in the sky, you'll know it's Super Chicken.
All righty. Thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. They were spouting in the chat room about the weather where all of you guys are, all over the country, talking about the different weather you're having. And I'm looking out the window here, and it is it should be up to about 74 today, clear and sunny. Absolutely beautiful. In fact, I could put on some shorts and a T-shirt, and it would be very, very comfortable outside. So you got to love it. I know our guest today, Arlena, up in Wisconsin, says it is 10 degrees and cold. So I'm glad I'm not there, to be honest with you. Last couple of days, we've been filming here at the old homestead, doing some videos for Tractor Supply. We've already got five on their website, TractorSupply.com, and we're hoping to get about eight more done before their official Chick Days events start. And so definitely looking forward to that. And yeah, it is a little bit stressful writing the scripts, and then we record the scripts just dry. And then in case we need to just impose pictures over what we read. And then we do a lot of live shots with me. We were at a Tractor Supply last night doing some videos up there in the Tractor Supply store, and we're back outside here today. I think we're doing biosecurity. We are doing, let me go through the scripts here, chicken runs, I believe, today, preparing your flock for the seasons, winter and summer, and I think predators. And since I don't have any pet raccoons or fox or possums or weasels, then a lot of that, again, we'll read the script and then we'll superimpose, I guess, pictures for the video while I'm reading the script in the background. So, hey, you do what you can with what you got. And so hopefully TSC will be happy about that. So a little stressful. The film crew will leave later this evening, and we still might have to make a trip back up to Atlanta where they're located for one day of finalizing and filming to wrap everything up for this project. So definitely looking forward to that. But I will be glad when it is over and the stress is lifted off my shoulders, because I really want to start concentrating on the Chicken Whisperer tour here, the first quarter tour that's coming up here in a couple of weeks. We'll be heading out, probably hitting the road on Friday morning, the 22nd. We got events all in February right now, the 22nd, Saturday the 22nd, the 23rd, 24th, 25th, 26th, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, yeah, 26th, all in Lower Alabama and the Panhandle and north part of Florida. So we've got, let's see, Enterprise, Alabama, Brewton, Alabama, Pensacola, Florida, Crestview, Florida, and Marianna, Florida. And that's in that order, starting on the 22nd through the 26th. Can't wait to see you folks there at the events. There'll be book signing. There'll be a little poultry workshop for about an hour and a half, pictures, autographs, questions and answer segment, the whole nine yards. Really looking forward to that. So I'd like to, again, get these videos wrapped up, get that project off the plate, and then scoop on a big helping of Chicken Whisperer Tour. So if you hear a little noise in the background, no worries. This is a family show, a family affair. Caleb's having a little lunch here in his high chair, and Jen's fixing some sandwiches for me and the film crew so we can gobble our lunch down and get back to shooting in a little bit. So definitely looking forward to that, but I'm ready for these videos to get done. Fun and interesting project, but it's a lot of hard work. If you've ever done that, it's hard work, folks. But nonetheless, another great episode of Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. Got a great show lined up for you today. Arlena Schott, it's another great episode of Garden Wise Living with Arlena. And, of course, got to love it. First and third Wednesday of every month, we talk about year-round gardening with Arlena. And today's topic, you're going to love it, all about easy sprouting and seed starting. Because, you know, and we say year-round gardening because, just perfect example, here it's 74 degrees. We've already got daffodils coming up out of the ground we saw yesterday when we were filming. Of course, we've had an unusually warm winter. Just a couple of weeks ago, it was 80 degrees. Very, very unseasonably warm here. The peach farmers are a little concerned. They have to have so many days below freezing, so many frosts for a good peach crop, so we may see high prices on peaches this year all over the country due to the lack of cold weather we've had here in South Georgia. But so here we are. I mean, this weekend, I'll be planting some onions, and I'll be planting, potatoes, and then maybe in another week or two weeks, we'll be planting some broccoli and cauliflower in the garden. And up there, it's just too frozen to dig. In Wisconsin, it's 10 degrees. So we do talk about year-round gardening, things you can do based on whatever zone you're at. And we've done that in the past, and today is going to be no exception. Easy sprouting, you can do that inside, of course, and seed starting, which you can do inside, getting ready for your spring gardening by starting the seeds inside or in a hothouse. So got to love that regarding today's topic. So I hope all of you are doing well, and we appreciate you joining us. So without further ado, I'm going to head over here if I can push the right button on my on my computer, and we're going to bring, I see Arlena is in the queue and old hold waiting to come live. In fact, rumor has it she's working in the, y'all know she is a tax preparer, and I don't know, I guess, what the official title is, but she is in the tax office. That was a sneak attack yawn right there. I had to yawn, didn't want y'all have to endure that, because then everybody out in radio land who's listening will yawn. But that was a sneak attack yawn. I apologize. But she is in the tax office. It says, she claims she's partaking in a little bit of wine. And so I guess with all the stresses of taxes, a little wine is never going to hurt anything, right? So she is known for that. So we're going to bring her live right now. Let's give it up a big welcome in the chat room and live on the radio show. A big welcome to Arlena Shah. Hey, Arlena.
Hey there.
Thanks for joining us. Thanks for joining us today. I know you're in the tax office and enjoying a little bit of wine. So what is the wine choice for today?
Yay. My wine today comes from Sturgeon Bay, Wisconsin. It's a local winery from Simon Creek Vineyard, which is a beautiful place in Door County, if anybody has been there. It is actually an American Merlot, which is a classic red. So it's kind of a semi-dry wine, which is usually like a medium dry or so. It's not usually my forte because I'm more of a sweet wine person. There's my glass, but it is very, very good. And I have been given the okay to have a little wine, just one glass, because it's almost noon somewhere, right? Here at the tax office. Yes, I am at the tax office. I'm a tax preparer, run the office type thing. And, one little glass of wine's not going to hurt anybody. So let's have a sip. Everybody raise your glass. I see a glass of white gin in the chat room. Hello. Everybody raise their glass, and let's have a hello and welcome to Backyard Poultry with a Chicken Whisperer today. Okay. Oh, it's very good. It's very, very good. Hello. Everybody's waving. Moopoo, hello there, Annie Haven. Her and I have been on the road quite a bit this year. We just got back, Annie and I. Annie's my virtual partner in crime, traveling the country, sharing miniature gardening. And we just got back from Louisiana, Natchitoches, Louisiana, which is North Louisiana, and Texas. We were in Dallas, then down to Kingwood, Texas, and then up to Louisiana and back to Dallas again. So we had quite a little whirlwind here on our tour. And we're back here for a month because of tax season, obviously. And then we're back on the road, Annie, you and I. We're back on the road to Chicago. We're going to be in the Illinois area for almost 3 weeks down. And it's not very far from me. It's about 4.5 hours, but I'll be teaching or speaking on miniature gardens every single day the end of the end of March. So I'm just going to stay out on the road. Yeah. So anyway, yes, I heard you talking about your tour, and that's wonderful. And so, yay, it's exciting. I love it. I love sharing the magic of miniature gardens, especially with the new miniature chicken coop. It's just amazing, and it's done so well. Everybody loves it. Of course, everybody loves chickens. So you have to have a miniature chicken coop for your miniature garden. I think I'm just going to have to send Andy one. I think he just has to have one because, right? Just because.
I'll set it right smack dab in the center of my acre garden. It might get covered up with 7-foot corn and 5-foot tomato, 3-foot peas and beans.
It's for a container garden, and I'm sure eventually your kids would love to enjoy playing with it and building around it. Anyway, today it is. Like I said, almost 10. It was below zero this morning, just barely below zero. But again, this is Wisconsin, and that's what we get for being up here in the north, beautiful country. And then it's actually at 10, almost 10 degrees right now. So that's pretty good. That's pretty good for us. And like you said, you know, gardening year-round, there's lots of ways to do that. Either A, you are in the southern states that are 76 degrees, like Texas was when I was there, and Louisiana was, you know, 40 during the night and then poked its head right up to almost 80 degrees or 78 degrees, which everybody there standing around in coats and hats and coveralls and waiting for me to speak out there in the garden center, and I'm standing there in a T-shirt going, my gosh, does somebody have a fan? So, yes. But when I did get off the plane and it was minus 20 degrees, let me tell you what, I felt like, what in the heck happened? Yes. So it is nice to know that we can garden year-round in different ways. And one way, like you said, is from starting our seeds indoors earlier. And you guys being at 70 degrees, you'll be able to plant soon. So like you say, potatoes and your root vegetables and things could probably go in now. Here in Wisconsin, obviously, we'll wait for another couple months, and then we will. But we can be thinking about any of us, your climates, my climates, any zone out there that's listening. We want to include everybody. Well, that's what's really great about this show is I can talk about my climate zones, and then there's so many people in the chat room that can help us as well. My zone is 4-5. And Andy, you there are like 7-8. I ask you that every single time.
Yep.
Sunday. I will get it.
Absolutely.
Hey,
seven, eight.
I got it. 7-8. And then everybody else, if you'd like to chime in and tell us your zones, that's great, into the chat room. But it's really nice to be able to talk a little bit about everybody's zones. And as far as sprouting, you know, when you're seed sprouting, as far as for eating, for instance, alfalfa sprouts, bean sprouts, anything like that, then everybody can do that, no matter what zone you're at or what is the temperature outside. It doesn't matter because we're doing that indoors, and it's a healthy, healthy treat. We all know how much energy or how concentrated nutrients and vitamins is packed into these small, easy-to-eat little form, you know. It's amazing and easy to do, and it's fun. It's fun. Get the kids involved or just ourselves. It's nice to have some of those fresh little sprouts to throw on top of our salad or mix in with a stir-fry, you know, at the end, just so they don't get soggy. It's really nutritious. It's fun. It's easy, inexpensive. A few things to think about when you're doing it, though, is make sure – yeah, the phones are ringing. I'm sorry. You're going to hear that.
No,
I don't have to answer them, though. I don't have to answer them.
Don't worry. We've got we're having fun. We've got Caleb in here. Jen's in here. The camera guy. I was asking the camera guy, yeah, we've been doing last couple of days videos for Tractor Supply Brits and Grits here on the homestead. So
yes.
The camera crew's here, so we're about to try to have a working lunch and so we can get back out to filming as soon as the show's over. So there'll be some extra little background noises here.
Ear here and there, so that's fine.
No problem, so just ignore
Yes. I've done a few of those videos myself, so I kind of understand a little bit about that. Just a few. What do we really need to think about first when we're thinking about sprouting seeds or any kind of seed or any kind of spranking, any kind of sprouts, I guess that's how we say it, is to understand where your seeds come from, number one, in my opinion. Buy from a reputable place, a reputable grower. A couple of my absolute favorite people in the world are Peaceful Valley Farm and Garden Supply. That's Charlotte Daffodil, who always tunes in with us here, planter in Grass Valley, California. They Peaceful Valley Farm and Garden Supply. They have a wonderful selection of organic seeds, and they stand behind their product. Another one is the Territory Seeds. Territorial Seeds. They've been on with us before talking about garlic. They stand behind their product. And then one of my favorite people in the world is wheatgrasskits.com. That gal is wonderful. If you call her up with a question, she's instantly on the phone getting back to you if you have questions or problems about your sprouts and what's going on with them. And then they have a huge list of sprouting seeds. So depending on, you know, if you're just brand new thinking about purchasing seeds, remember to always buy from a reputable grower. That's important to know where your seeds come from. It's like anything else we always talk about. It's up to the consumer to be aware. Independent garden centers are really getting into it as well. They're starting to have little kits and sell sprouting seeds as well. So you can really, really benefit by like traveling around and finding your independent garden center and seeing what they have or asking them if they're going to be carrying those as well. So, number one, that's my opinion, knowing where your seeds for your sprouting is coming from. I like to choose my favorite seeds, mung bean sprouts. Has anybody done mung beans? They are absolutely delicious. A little tiny green little bean. Looks almost like a little coffee bean, but a little tinier, kind of a little tiny pea-shaped looking thing. And they are wonderful sprouted and easy. And they're common in Chinese dishes, but recent years we've begun to sprout almost absolutely everything: radishes, alfalfa, lentil, broccoli, soybeans. Those are popular in salads, soups, sandwiches. You can also do a mixture of those. There's lots of sprouting seed blends out there that are wonderful and tasty and so good for us. So there's really, sprouting seeds has really come a long way, and I think that's just wonderful. It's just another way of us gardeners gardening year-round, like you say, and in a whole different manner. You know, we're sprouting them, and you know who likes them even more than us? Our little friends in the chicken coop. I love to sprout some mung beans, and then just one day give them a little treat, especially because the door's closed and it's white outside here in Wisconsin, and then just throw those in it with their regular feed every morning or in the morning, like a fun little treat, and oh my goodness, they're going to thank you with even more eggs. But yes, that's a wonderful way to add just a little bit of green to a winter day here in Wisconsin or anywhere. It's just fun to do year-round. Easy to do. You can either A, sprout in flats, or a simplest way is to either A, purchase a sprouting jar. But a sprouting jar is simply a jar with a lid that has a mesh over the top. Either A, you can make your own mesh using a pantyhose. Please don't use any used ones, but you can use fresh pantyhose, brand new pantyhose would work well. And then you just put that over your lid and screw it down on after you put your seeds in. One of my favorite ways, I like the sprouting jar, only because it's just very easy to do, simple, it sits on the counter. And what you do is you take your seeds, you rinse them very well. It's kind of like when you're doing rice, you know, you always want to rinse them really well. You place your clean drained seeds in a glass jar and pour in approximately three times as much water as there are seeds. Cover the top of the jar with either cheesecloth or fine nylon mesh and use a large rubber band around the top of the fasten it securely. I just use the canning jar lid and I put the ring of the canning jar lid. That's what I use. And I just screw it on. And then what you do is you can use a piece of clean, soak the seeds for a couple of hours. Then I'm trying to read here and trying to talk at the same time. And you know me. You know when you were here, I go, I don't care. I have ADD. And if you can't keep up, I'm sorry, get off the boat. I am trying to be professional. So I scripted myself. That doesn't work for me. I can't. Script. I don't know how you do it. I get all off. Yes, you can use cheesecloth. Cheesecloth would be put over the top instead of a mesh or a nylon. And then when you're drain every day, sometimes twice to three times a day, I've found, especially with mung beans and some small and any of those larger beans, that if you let them sit too long in either too warm of a temperature, like 72 is just a little bit too warm, they like a cooler temperature, opposite. They like it 72 or above and not 72 below, because if it takes too long of a time to sprout, they tend to mold. We don't want that. So what we do is every day you want to add more water and drain it out, add more water and drain it out, and then set them aside and let them sprout. And then pretty soon, it doesn't take, what does it take, maybe 2 to 3 days at the most, and you'll start seeing the little babies crack open. I love that. In my opinion, that's just amazing to see those little seeds sprout out. But anyway, that's easy way of doing it in a jar, sprouting jar, inexpensively, things you have around the house. Or you can go to any of these wonderful places that I've mentioned, and they have all kinds of sprouting supplies. There's sprouting racks, there's sprouting bowls, there's sprouting jars, there's sprouting everything in the world. But if you just want to try some and have a little cheesecloth, or you have some nylon, or you know, then it's just really easy to put together with a canning jar and that ring and then the cheesecloth over the top and then screw it. It takes about, to sprout seeds for eating, yes, they sprout quicker. Because they're sitting in water, and then that, I believe, because we sit them in water for at least 2 to 3 days, or you know what I mean? We sit them in water when we first put them in. We drain it out the next day, put more water in, shake it around, drain it out, put more water in, drain it out, put more water in. Okay? They're sitting in the water, so it's softening the outer part of the seed. Therefore, they sprout quicker. And it's the same thing that we could use, or the same application that we can use on our seeds for sprouting for our plants. A lot of garden centers or growers will soak their seeds, especially like bean seeds or tomato seeds, things that take a little bit longer to sprout, so that the okra, there we go.
Really
a lot
hard.
Of seeds, very, yes, exactly. The seeds that have really hard outdoor shells are what we want to soak to get to sprout sooner for even transplanting. So a lot of garden centers or growers will soak those seeds in a flat, just in a little bit of water, and just maybe a day or so, and then plant them just so that it softens up that shell first. It makes them sprout quicker. Actually, what is it? Okay. What other seeds do they like to eat that are sprouted? Anybody. Everything. Mung beans, dry wheat grass, alfalfa, broccoli seeds, radish seeds, the birds will eat them all, and we can eat them too. Thank you, poet's wife. See, I can just read the screen. I can double duty here. Yes, anything you think about to sprout, you can sprout. Goodness, broccoli, like you say. Broccoli is wonderful sprouted. Has anybody tried that? It's just the flavor is amazing. You can sprout pretty much any seed and use it. Sunflower seeds sprouted are delicious. Bean seeds, of course. We've all done the beans, you know, any of the big beans, the large beans, so that we have those for, like, oriental cooking or things like that. But fresh is the best. That gives us more nutrients. So if you're making a sandwich, like chicken breast with a little avocado and goat cheese on it, then, yeah, of course, you're going to throw in some sprouts. So it's really fun to do, and it's another way, again, I say, and I reiterate, is that a word? It is now. To any way we can get gardening is a great way, yes. Yeah. But anyway, any other questions on sprouting? There are so many ways. We can sprout, like for wheatgrass, if we want to grow our own wheatgrass in a flat, it's really easy to do. I think I've talked about that in the past. As far as I do that in big, like nursery flats, when you get your plants in a nursery flat that have holes in the bottom, very inexpensive, even a cardboard box. I know it's going to rot out, but as long as it takes for yours to sprout and deliver to your chickens or eat the grass on top, that box will hold up. Or not, line it with plastic and put a couple holes in it. We can do it inexpensively.
Right. And I agree. Yeah. It's doing it cheap. And we'll go to, when we're in Atlanta, we'll go to Whole Foods, places like that, and they'll have this sprouting kit that's like, I don't know, $25, $29. And it's just a seed, a plastic seed flat, and it's got the little fine soil and maybe a package of seeds or something. But you're right. I mean, a little cardboard box or I mean, anything you've got.
Anything you've got.
Oh, my gosh. It can be done so inexpensively.
Exactly. You don't have to go out and spend a lot of money. You know, and I just absolutely love the kits. Don't get me wrong, and I love the companies that have the kits. But if you're trying to provide for your family and do it in an inexpensive way, you may have some seeds, some wheatgrass seeds. You may have some alfalfa seeds. You may have some seeds. And if you can't afford to go out and get some kits or get some containers, there's lots of things around the house we can use. Even a Tupperware container, a Rubbermaid, or anything like that, a flat container. It doesn't even have to be square. It can be round. It doesn't matter. Put some holes in it, though. That's the biggest thing, drainage. You have to have drainage. As far as for sprouting, like wheatgrass and things like that, or anything like that is what I'm talking about for sprouting seeds. But we don't have to spend a lot of money. It's very inexpensive and easy, especially wheatgrass. If you go to wheatgrasskits.com, they do have bulk, and I think it's less expensive to buy that way. If you go to even Territory Seeds, most of those places will have a bulk section. Even Harris Seed Company, which is a supplier for most commercial growers, will have a bulk section for home gardeners. It's an organic sprouting section. Or if they're not sprouting, broccoli seeds aren't necessarily labeled as sprouting, but we know we can do it. Radishes, for instance, you know, any of your cabbages, your kales, anything like that, will sunflower seeds, lots of those companies will have a bulk little section that you can go on and purchase them in it more inexpensive if you're, for instance, like me. I want to do a huge, like three flats of wheatgrass for my chickens or for myself, one for me and two for the chickens, or two for me and one for the chickens. Very inexpensive to do. If you go to wheatgrasskits.com, they sell it by the pound. Very easy to do. You fill your container. Like if you were to use, okay, we'll say we have a couple of the flats from the garden center, the ones that are really not huge holes in the bottom. If it does have huge holes, you could take a piece of weed barrier cloth, and put those over the holes just so you have the drainage. That's all we're looking for, or even a piece of plastic with holes pupped in it if the holes are too big for the soil to stay in to get started. I like the ones that have little less holes in them. Then I fill it with the soil, and I use any soil you want to use, not out of the garden, obviously, but any of the planting mixes, the potting soils that you prefer, any of those organic matter that you prefer to use, that's what I use. Then I lay my wheatgrass. I soak my wheatgrass for about 30 minutes. I lay it on, take it out of the water, lay it on top of the soil in the flat, and it's pretty thick. It looks like it's way overdone, but it's way pretty thick. That the seeds in there will look way thicker. Is that a word? Way thicker than if you were to broadcast it out into the, like if you were broadcasting grass. You know how you salt and pepper grass seed, and that's how you do it when you broadcast it? No, this is done way thicker because we really want a nice thick grass to grow. Then you wet some newspaper or any kind of a paper that you prefer, maybe an organic paper or something that doesn't have ink in it, whatever. Then you wet that thoroughly, the paper you're using or burlap or anything that you want to put on top, wet it thoroughly because that will keep those seeds moist. Then you put those over the top just until, and put them in a sunny location, warm location, just until you start seeing those little seeds pop up out of the ground, little grasses, blades of wheatgrass. Then you take the newspaper off. And it's really not like a science. I'm sorry, it isn't. I've left that paper on till it pushes it up off the flat, and it's still fine. The little grass looks a little yellow because it doesn't have any, didn't get any sunlight, but it's fine. It's not that difficult. It's very easy. So there is my suggestion for wheatgrass, and it's delicious. I don't know about you, but I've had it only because I know it's good for me, but it's like chewing on somebody's lawn clippings. I'm sorry. It is.
Have you ever added it to a smoothie? A lot of times you'll see wheatgrass smoothies, and to add it to that for the health benefits.
Yes, you could do that. That would be much better than, like if you're at the gym or whatever, they always have the little wheatgrass bars, and you go up there and you do a little shot of wheatgrass, and everybody's like, bleh! But you know it's good for you, so we do it, right? So, so like you say, we can make smoothies or just simply put it in some apple juice, mix it up, and throw in some apples or bananas. Or like you say, make a smoothie out of it. It tastes really, really good that way. But the other way, in my opinion, it sounds like you're just chewing on somebody's lawn clippings. Yeah, but I don't know. The chickens love it, though. They're just going to love you to death for it. They are. And they'll scratch it up and chew it and take out the seed, and it'll make a mess. And then you just take the flat out and you go grow them some more, and they're just happy, happy, happy. Yeah. Anyway, so now we've done wheatgrass, and we've talked a little bit about sprouting in a jar. And then there's so many other containers out there that are meant for sprouting. You know, there's just some fun ones out there. Even if you choose to buy a little kit, it's fun to do and it's fun to watch, and the kids love to watch it too, and I love to watch them. It's just kind of fun. And then you always have a nutritional. I think I need another glass of wine. Okay, I'm going to have another drink of my wine before we have go. Oh gosh, that's good. Get back to our talking about sprouting. So let's talk about sprouting seeds, because I know you guys are into your season.
Yes, we are. And like I said, we'll be planting some this weekend, but even now is the time for, of course, we won't be planting our summer crop, But we're going to be looking at, you know, a lot of times right now where people are starting inside, that their tomatoes, squash, okra, things like that, maybe here in the next couple of weeks, getting ready, because we'll be, a lot of farmers around here, I'm telling you, late March, they're putting in corn and all, I mean, peas, beans, okra, squash, all that great stuff late March. I'm not sure I'm that brave with the mild winter we've had. Sometimes I feel like, well, with the very mild winter we've had, we're probably due for what they, you know, call down around here, a blackberry winter, where we get excited, we plant everything, and then all the next thing you know, it gets down to, you know, 19 degrees and it burns us. So I'm not sure, yeah. So sure if I'll do the late March like a lot of farmers do around here. You know, Grandpa always said, you best not plant before Good Friday.
Mm-hmm.
So, see, you know, the almanac says, take Grandpa's advice in hand. But, yeah, a lot of people are starting seeds now for their what they're going to plant in their garden in late March. Tis the season.
It is the season. Here in Wisconsin, we're at most of the growers of the garden centers, they grow their own plants, which most of them do here. Obviously, they have greenhouses, and they have started in February, March. So anything for tomato plants, pepper plants, things like that, those are all started here as well. As far as home gardeners, you want to start so that, you know when you put them out, it's the chance of frost is pretty much past, but you can get started. And like we said, and there's lots of great ideas inside the in the chat, in the chat room as far as for sprouting seeds or starting seedlings. Let's put it that way. We're talking now about starting seedlings. And what I always say is look at what you plan on planting. Okay, we go back to the purpose here. What are we planning on planting? Okay, we've got tomatoes that take a long time. We've got peppers that take quite a long time as well. You know, we can go tomatoes anywhere from 68 to 105 days, depending on whether we want a little tiny tomato or whether we want huge, humongous tomatoes. So if it's tomatoes you're thinking about wanting to put in and you really feel like you want to start the plants, then you there in your area, I would say get going. Even in mine, I would think about starting those here pretty soon. But you guys are plenty of time to do that now. And again, I talked about how the growers will soak their tomato seeds, because some tomatoes take quite a long time to germinate. And same with pepper seeds. Sometimes those take quite a while to germinate. Like, I have a greenhouse friend here that has a germinator, and it is just this big metal box that has a huge...
I have to say, isn't that a movie on HGTV? The Germinator.
It is. I'm the star. The Germinator. Oh, my gosh. It's called The Germinator. I love it because if I forget, like if I'm going to do a wheatgrass spot on NBC and I forgot to get my wheatgrass started, if I just run down to Olin's greenhouse and say, hey, can I throw this flat in your germinator? In 4 hours, my wheatgrass has popped up. It's great. I love it. So it's kind of nice that I get to do that. But anyway, it's a big, you know, like stainless steel box with doors on the front, and it has a flat, it has racks in it. It's got a heater unit and a mister in it. So that baby keeps them moist and heated, and those seeds sprout fairly quickly. And then as soon as they sprout, he puts them in just flats of soil and sprinkles those seeds in there. And as soon as they start sprouting and they've got their first leaf, he takes them out and he transplants them just with a little knife. He takes a knife and slides it down next to the plant and pulls out its little body and its little piece of root, and then he puts them in his containers and his 12 packs or his 6 packs. And yeah, it's quite a process to it. You have to kind of appreciate the independent garden centers and the ones that do it like that. I know there's lots of mechanical ways, but this is my little buddy that has little greenhouses and has been there for years, and he's in his, I think, his late 70s, and every year he does the same thing. But we can do it as well, easy. Yes, it sounds like an incubator. Yes, kind of the same way, but it has a mister in it. But we can do it ourselves. There are, for instance, I think it was Wheatgrass Kits that I did get a warming mat from. And you plug it in, and it keeps the flat of soil warmer than it would normally, so that they sprout quicker. It's for sprouting, or seedling sprouting, for instance, tomatoes, peppers, things that take so long. Beans are so easy. Corn is easy. We don't usually have to start those as seedlings because we just direct sow those. But if you're thinking tomatoes and you want to put a lot in and you don't want to purchase plants, you want to grow them yourself, you want to do the whole thing from start to finish, then now would be the time to do it and get started. And like they say in the chat room, there's lots of ways to do it inexpensively. This one guy in the chat room, he said, I'm sorry if I missed it as it went by, it's going pretty fastly. There's eggshells, and he puts the soil in the eggshell and then puts it in the egg carton. And then as they sprout and grow, probably 2 to 3, 4 leaf, you can either A, depending on your weather, directly put them into the soil with the eggshell on, crack it, I don't know. Or you could transplant them. In my area, we would probably have to wait till there's 3 to 4 leaf, then transplant them into a larger container, maybe the little 4 inches that you got from the garden centers, or the 1 gallon container, or a milk cart, you know, whatever. And then they can grow again bigger and build those heavy, nice roots so that when we put them in the soil, then they're ready to take off. Yeah. But that's probably one thing you probably want to think about. What do I really want to grow from seed and why? Cucumbers really don't do well from seed, so you don't have to worry about starting those from seed. Squash plants don't do well from seed, from transplants. I messed that up. Squash seeds, cucumber seeds, cucumbers plants, those do much better direct sown than they do from a transplant. It's called they'll get kind of a wilt. They tend to grow stringy and long and run for the sun, and so then they get a vine before they get their first leaf if they're for transplants. And then what happens sometimes is that vine or that first part of that stem lays on top of the soil and it gets sunburnt, and it's called a wilt, and they'll just kind of go away. Because they're not one of those things that you can heal up like you can like a pepper plant or a tomato plant, and then they'll grow roots. Those need to be planted directly. But those, I always tend to direct sow my cucumber plants and my squash plants and my pumpkin plants and my corn and my beans, because those things are just quick. Put a bean seed in and wait for this rain, and as soon as it rains or you water it, bleep, there she's up. So I tend to try to just go with that kind of a rule. But tomatoes take forever, and depending on where you're at, but they do. Tomatoes are pretty long. 65 days is probably the least, and that's the tiniest, like early girl, things like that. And then when you get into like 105 days, a better boy, big boys, things like that, they take 105 days. Well, you count out 105 days. You may want to get your better boys and your beefsteaks and your things like that, the heirlooms that take longer time. You might want to think about getting those seeds started early so that you have the varieties that you want. No, cuke squash, and they can't take frost. No. Am I yacked enough? It's time for potatoes, too. And like you said, you're going to start putting your potatoes in. And we always say seed potatoes, which is really, you think, if you haven't gardened regularly, which there's a lot of us out there, and that's great. If you're new to the show and you haven't gardened much, I'm glad to have you on the show. But we don't mean to say that, we're going to talk about everything because we think everybody knows that. I don't know everything about gardening, so I like to go back to the basics a little bit sometimes and talk a little bit about sets and seeds. When we say potato seed, we're talking about not necessarily the beginning of the potato seed, like the teeny, teeny, tiny little black seed. No, we're talking about home gardeners will be getting seed potatoes. And seed potatoes are a small little potato with a couple eyes in it, or it was a large potato that has been cut in sections, and then it has a couple eyes in each section. That's what we refer to as a seed potato. Not necessarily, don't go to the packet section and start looking for a packet of potato seed. So just so you know, so it's easier for you to get into planting potatoes, you're looking for seed potatoes that are actually, it look like a little potato with a couple eyes on it. And you can see sometimes garden centers will have huge 100-pound bags or 50-pound sacks of seed potatoes, and you pick them out yourself, mm-hmm. pay by the pound, and they're big. You can cut those big potatoes into sections, making sure that you leave at least a golf ball size piece of potato, and at least 1 to 2 eyes is the best, because that potato, as it starts to sprout, will be using that piece of potato as its nutrients, kind of like a chicken, a baby chick does, and uses the yolk inside the egg. So you want to make sure and give it a nice piece of potato so that it's gonna make you a healthy plant before it starts sprouting. So that's what a seed potato is. And always buy from a reputable dealer. You want to know exactly where your sprouts are coming from, your seed potato is coming from. Do not use plants or potatoes that were from the grocery store that have sprouted under the cupboard. You know why? Those have actually been treated not to sprout by the companies. Unless you've purchased those at the farmer's market, then they will not be treated. But if you purchase them at a grocery store, a chain grocery store, those potatoes have all been sprayed and treated so they will not sprout. So if you think, okay, they sprouted, I can use these as seed potatoes, you're going to be very, very disappointed. They will sprout, but they will not produce. Don't do it. Go to the farm store, go to the garden centers, or online, any reputable farmer's market. Sometimes those guys will even start early in the spring with seed potatoes for sale because they had so many left over for the year. That's a great place, too. Another thing is onion sets or onion seed onions. Same thing here. We're really, yes, you can. You can go to the seed packet and you can purchase onion seeds. And those you will plant for green onions because onions do take quite a while to grow. Okay? So, in my opinion, I prefer to buy onion sets. And sets, again, are when you go to the garden center or if you go to the farm store, you'll see bags of onion sets. Or if you go online to one of these wonderful places I talked about, you'll see bags of onion sets. And they look like a little miniature onion. They do have a top, a pointy top, that's up. They do have a root bottom, that's down. So where in a potato, it really doesn't matter, up or down. That eye will turn its way. If it's a planet, if you put that eye upside down in the garden, it will turn itself up and come up. Even an onion will too, but let's give it a little chance.
My neighbor, he'll kind of like when you do when you're planting bulbs like narcissus, daffodil bulbs, a lot of times some people don't care to do this, but I know I did growing up, and get the hole dug or use a bulb planter, and then I would put a handful of sand at the bottom before I put the bulb down in there to kind of prevent rot and good drainage. And I guess, you know, again, there's commercial farming, and then there's, you know, backyard, or maybe you have a raised bed or whatever. But my neighbor was saying that he'll a lot of times coat the potato that he's cut with the two sprouts on it when he gets his seed taters. And he'll just kind of drop those down in a big bag of meal, like cornmeal, and then put in the hole just to prevent from decay or rotting or things like that. Have you heard any tips about anybody doing that?
In my other life, back in Nevada when we were truck farming and we plant 25 acres of potatoes, we coated them in a chemical coating because that was my other life, and that is a no-no. My opinion, no. There are things out there, they're fungicides, and there are organic ones now, too, that are natural. The word natural is used, and we know how that's been used. It's been whitewashed, so you, again, want to be careful of what you want to put on things. I, here in Wisconsin, now, my soil is dark brown, heavy loam, nice. I throw them in, cut, right away, done. There are others that will cut them, let them sit in the sun just a little while to scab over. Then they throw them in to prevent that. Now, there are fungicides, like I say, that are natural that you can throw them in a bag and toss them around and then throw them in the ground if you're worried about rot or mildew because of the soil being so moist. And again, like you say, throwing a little sand in the bottom of the hole wouldn't hurt anything, especially if you're in a heavy clay situation.
Right.
As far as the meal, I have not heard of it, but I don't see why that wouldn't work. It's about the same thing. It's covering that cut. It's protecting that cut so that those eyes can take hold before the rot does. So if you can get those eyes growing before you know, the rot does. But I think a lot of it comes, too, also is waiting for the ground temperature to come up above 65 degrees before we throw them in the ground. And you yourself have talked about that. Everybody's getting excited. They do that here, too. You know, it's like you've got the old folks here around Wisconsin and Minnesota that think we have to have them in by St. Patrick's Day, or, well, here in Wisconsin, that's just way too early. So usually what happens, this is what happens, they'll throw their potatoes and their corn in, and then they sit there in the ground because the ground is 48 degrees, and they wait, and they wait until the ground temperature starts to rise. They've planted them already, but it's not in time. So what happens? That corn seed rots out, those potatoes rot out, they're replanting. Now, if we get an unusually warm spring where they have time, that temperature in the ground really kicks in and goes faster, then, you know what, they're ahead of the game a little bit. So I guess it's kind of fun. It's a gamble, and that's what gardening is. It's a gamble. You know, Mother Nature's going to do what she wants to do. So in my opinion, if you'd like to do that, absolutely. Yeah. Throw it in some cornmeal. Toss them around. Throw them in the ground. I don't think that's going to have any issue with anything other than maybe varmints or underground critters. That would be the only thing that I would worry about.
Okay.
But again, if you feel the need to harden off those fresh cuts, put them out in the sun a little bit and get a scab on them. Not too long. You don't want to blanch them, but you want to, or bleach them. Whatever you call that word when you lay them out too long. I don't know. There's a professional word, but I'm not in that life anymore. I don't want it. So anyway, you can lay them out and you can and scab over that cut, and that helps a lot. But if you're in other countries or climates that have sandier soil and the ground temperature is correct, just throw them right in. Cut
That's
straight
what we're
out.
Do.
You know?
We have a very, very sandy soil here. So
you're good.
I wasn't going to do anything but just cut them where we have a couple of eyes on each piece. And now, talk about the depth, because a lot of people will say, oh, you got to plant them deep. Plant taters deep. What's your take on that?
6 inches.
Okay.
5, 4. I mean, I am, you know me, I am a rebel gardener. This girl just goes, because if it's too long, takes too long, I ain't going to do her. 6 to 8 inches. I don't see 1, 2, depending on what man you're talking about listening. Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 inches. 6 inches deep, in my opinion, is deep enough, and that's what I do, and I have plenty of potatoes. If you go any deeper, in my opinion, they're struggling to come up.
Gotcha.
But everybody has their opinion out there. Please throw it in there because, like I say, I am not the only one out there that can garden. You all garden right along with me. Yes, poet's wife, sunburn.
I think that's a big mistake a lot of people make. I've been down that road planting seeds too deep, whether it be carrot seeds or the beans or the peas or what have you. I mean, you look at the package and use that as a guide. But I've gone down that negative and bad road of planting a lot of seeds too deep.
Right, exactly. In my opinion, it's easier to rehill them if you start seeing taters pop up, and you know, just pull some soil up on top of them so they don't get sunburned, than to have them way too deep. And then pretty soon what happens is, like you say, your potatoes are out of nutrients before it gets to the top. So, yes, I'd say 6 inches. 6 to 8 inches is plenty deep enough for potatoes. And I did have a question in there that I missed of how to store seed potatoes. This is what we do. We have a cold spot in my basement right next to the hot water heater. I don't know. It's because it's in the corner of, I have a raised home, you know, one side's out and one side's in the ground. So I use that corner that's the coldest corner. It does not freeze in there, and I put them in 5-gallon buckets. I do not wash my seed potatoes when I store them for the winter for the following year. I do not wash them. Leave them soil, or lay them out so they dry completely, but soil on. Do not wash them. Do not wash them. And try throw out anything that's been hit by nicked by the shovel or the spade or the kids or the dog or whatever. Throw out anything. Always make sure that those potatoes are not have a nick or a damage to them, because what happens is one potato will spoil your whole bunch, babe. So then I leave them in 5-gallon buckets after they've dried. I put them in that corner, and I cover the whole top with burlap only just to keep the sun out. They will sometimes sprout. not panic. And sometimes they start to shrivel. Don't panic. As long as you've got enough nutrients and enough potato for those eyes, they will be fine. And if you grow some really good, nice-sized potatoes for seed potatoes, they will be fine. But again, dig them up, lay them out in the sun, let them that soil dry on them. Take them and put them in a 5-gallon bucket or whatever you how many you have, and make sure looking through them that they don't have any nicks and cuts from the spade or the shovel, and then cover with something, towel, rug. I think I have my Christmas rugs on them right now. I don't know. And burlap, whatever you want. It's not science. I mean, it's science, but it's not. And then just leave them covered until spring, until you're ready to put them out. That's the way I store them. If you do not have a cooler place like that, you could make yourself a bale house or a bale spot in your basement. If your basement's not heated, you guys there. I think. Do you have cellars? Do y'all have cellars there?
Yeah, we do.
So we do. So cellars are perfect.
Actually, the ladies call them cellars. The men call them man caves.
Oh, my God. Well, a cellar, I'm thinking, is probably a dirt floor and dirt sides, correct? Or am I wrong there?
Okay, now you're talking about bunkers.
Bunkers. Oh, gosh. Okay. Oh, the water table's too high. That's right. Louisiana, too, had that issue. The water table was too high. Well, then, if you're trying to store that way, you might have to end up building yourself a straw house or digging a little spot in the soil that's half out and half down, and then straw the whole thing, cover the whole thing with straw. I'm not really sure about how that would work, but that's my opinion on it all anyway. But anyway, there you go. Okay, so now we know what seed potatoes are. We know what onion sets are. We know how to sprout. We're just all set. Our chickens are happy because we're going to make them some wheatgrass, and yeah.
If we're doing sprouts, yeah. How moist do you need to keep that? Is it something where you want it to always stay moist? Do you want to let it just about dry out before you add water again, or a consistent moisture all the time?
Okay, in a jar, most of the time
sprouting,
it will.
In a tray.
In a cardboard box or a tray or something if we're doing like wheatgrass or any of those other kind of broadcasted seed on top, you want to keep it moist. Do not let them dry out. Again, we have these poor little guys that don't have much. You know, there is soil in there, so once they get the root started, they're fine. Just don't let it dry out because they'll tend to wilt and then they don't do as well. It doesn't have to sit in water. We just want it wet to the touch, kind of like a houseplant type thing.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what we want. Yes. And then there are towers, sprouting towers and things like that. Oh, my goodness, there's just all kinds of stuff. We could just go on and on and on. But sprouts, you know, we all know how they have such nutrients to them. Sprouts do. Radish seeds are easily sprouted. I'll read this to you. Although the basic sprouting method is simple, different seed types do have different requirements for lighting, storage, and preparation. For example, large sprouted beans, such as kidney beans, must be cooked to make them palatable and destroy their nutritional toxins. What? Who wrote this? That's the stupidest thing I've ever seen. I have eaten bean sprouts raw, and I'm not dead. Okay, I'm not reading my script any longer. I see why I don't script. Or read it ahead of time, maybe. Anyway, I eat all kinds of bean sprouts and I don't croak. Who is this? I had my daughter. What the heck is that? We're not reading that. Anyway, yeah, Christmas chick, laugh all you want. I'm having another glass of wine. Anyway, what man cave, yeah. Who do you hide a man cave when there are tornado sightings? Okay, anything else we're going to talk about today? Are we about run out of time?
That's probably going to wrap it up. That's good. That's an hour, and we've got to get back outside and start filming these things while we got some daylight and while I got the crew here. So I've got to get that done. Big project on the shoulders. I've got to get finish. So no, thank you very much for coming on, Arlena, talking about sprouting and seed starting, kind of related, if you will. So it is the season, and a lot of part of the country now where people are going to be starting their seeds inside for their March garden. Many people now are planting their early spring garden. I think I said fall garden. For their spring garden, and then definitely starting their early spring garden.
Right. Yeah. Well, wonderful.
That.
I'm going to drink my wine and go back to doing somebody's taxes. I hope they're going to get a big refund.
Yeah, but perhaps, now I hope you tell them this. They shouldn't be too happy when that they get their refund, because all that means is they gave the government an interest-free loan for a year. You know how it is. You're the tax professional, not me. And I'm getting money back from the government. Woohoo! I can get a big screen TV now. Oh, that's great. You just gave them an interest free loan for the last year. Good for you. That's your own money coming back to you. They're not doing you any favors at all. So, oh my goodness.
Yeah, I understand. We won't get into that.
Taxes, and I will continue doing videos, and we'll convene back here in a couple of more weeks with Garden Wise Living with Arlena. Thank you very much, Arlena. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a wonderful day, guys. Bye bye.
All righty, very, very good. Hey, I want to appreciate y'all and thank y'all for tuning in today. Wednesday episode, first Wednesday of the month, Garden Wise Living with Arlena. And you can listen to the archive of the show on iTunes.com, Zoom.com, Podcast.com, and, of course, BlogTalkRadio.com. Yes, there will be a show tomorrow. We've got Dr. Bridget McRae, PhD, poultry scientist, joining us. Now, I say that loosely because I talked to her 2 days ago. I believe I talked to her on Monday, and she was battling a cold. Remember, a while back she had the flu. Now she was fighting, trying to keep a cold from coming on. Don't know if that's possible, but she didn't sound real good on the phone on Monday. So maybe it was a mild cold. Maybe it was just sinuses and it went away. I haven't talked to her since. So right now, for tomorrow, we've got Dr. Bridget McRae, PhD and poultry scientist, that'll be on tomorrow. And I'll try to reach out to her tonight or first thing in the morning. She is under the weather. She's got that bad cold maybe. So that will be she's scheduled for tomorrow. We're on go unless she happens to have that bad cold. In that case, we will search for another guest, or we'll just ad lib tomorrow when we come back and convene here at 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio. And I believe we're on for this Friday for another great fun Friday. We'll be giving a lot of prizes away to our listeners from our sponsors. That'll be a fun Friday episode. So right now, I think we're on for tomorrow. Maybe maybe it was just sinuses and she healed up real fine. So we hope you can tune in then. Hope you have a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time here on Blog Talk Radio. Have a great day, everybody. Bye.